Welcome back to the Parents' Rights in Education podcast. We are a grassroots movement of millions of parents and allies standing together, speaking as one, to protect children and ensure parents' crucial role in their child's education is protected. We come alongside millions of parents and allies and equip them to stand up for their rights by free trainings, membership, and community support. You can join this movement for free by visiting parentsrightsineducation.com. And hey, if you love the work that we're doing, please leave us a 5-star review. Your review helps us get out our message and allows us to keep advocating for parents' rights. Thanks so much for being here. Let's get into today's topic.
Well, today I'm excited to present a very wonderful guest. Okay, this is Richard Burke. And Richard is our official training partner. He heads up the organization Western Liberty Network and has been doing this for over 30 years. So he has a lot of experience training, guess who? Us, activists. Now, he also does our Saturday Zoom trainings and is available to travel to your area. So keep that in mind as you're listening to this discussion. He's fantastic. Hi, Richard. How's it going?
Gee, thanks. I'm having a great day after an intro like that. How can I lose?
Well, you can't. You absolutely cannot. So today we're going to be discussing an important trend pertaining to school board elections. And I discussed it recently in my commentary, and I'm very excited to hear your opinion about this change in the law that Arizona is considering. Sure. They are going to make their school board candidate requirements, changing them from nonpartisan to partisan. So what is your opinion about that, Richard? We can go through a variety of issues that you see.
Sure.
Let her rip.
Well, first of all, Suzanne, thanks for inviting me. I always like doing these sorts of things with you. It's always a blast. And I need to make a disclaimer, and that is that Western Liberty Network is a 501c3 organization. We do not endorse or oppose any political party, any candidate for office, even the ones we train. We don't endorse or oppose any ballot measure or legislation. We exist to train people, particularly limited government activists, in how to hold local office, run for it, serve in it, how to lobby, and how to be a skillful volunteer. And then, of course, they're free to use the training in any way they like for any candidate they like. So as I talk about partisanship, I want to bear that, you know, completely in mind. And, you know, a lot of the school board positions that we train people for, they are nonpartisan. And of course, in some states, in some parts of Virginia and others, they are partisan. Florida has that bill, of course, to make them partisan. And, you know, I'll be talking, you know, based on my opinion on these, in my personal opinion on these topics, not necessarily Absolutely. Western Liberty Network. But I like the idea myself. There are some really good arguments to do it, and there are a couple of arguments not to. And one of the biggest reasons to do it is ideological transparency. In theory, these would all be nonpartisan positions. You know, Nebraska actually has a nonpartisan legislature. And in theory, you didn't know that.
I did not know that. That's very interesting. Their entire legislature, they run.
It's like running for water board.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And what's more, Nebraska only has one house. It's a unicameral legislature.
Right.
They abolished their Senate. They have one house. It's nonpartisan. And it's really interesting. The interesting thing about Nebraska, though, is that even though there are no partisans, there are. Okay.
That's the point.
You've got ranchers in the West. You've got farmers in the East. And in the urban areas, you've got urban areas. And all you have to do is look at, you know, where they're from on the door plate, and you have a pretty good idea of what their politics are most of the time. And so even if you don't have a Republican caucus or a Democratic caucus, you'll find that the ranchers get together and the farmers get together and the urban people get together. So there's really no way to avoid it. And in an ideological world, voters would keep themselves up to date on everything, the pros and cons of every candidate. But most folks don't do that. Most folks spend an average of 5 minutes a week thinking about politics. And so the need arises to provide such voters with assistance in determining where people are grounded for the purpose of developing policy. And I believe that partisan affiliation does a reasonable job of that. You know, the Republican Party, for example, they do have factions. You've got your Ron Paul isolationists. You've got your big government, Republicans George Bush one or Richard Nixon. You've got your libertarian Republicans. You've got lots of different kinds. You get your social conservative Republicans. But generally, you know that if there's an R next to the name, they want less government than someone who has a D next to their name. And someone who has a D next to their name might, for example, be more interested in meeting human needs, even if it involves wealth confiscation to pay for it. So I like the idea of partisan school boards because it does provide some ideological transparency for the voter. Those who oppose partisan school board members say that school boards should serve all families, not just Republican, Democrat, but that's the same for anyone else. Anyone who's elected president should try to be a president for all Americans.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ideally. I mean, that's the idea. So, so there's no difference then between, a presidential race or a school board race. It does help people to know where that person, where their ideological proclivities lie.
Sure.
And you know, what's fascinating is that the argument has come up, and actually there is, there've been some statistical information, and I wondered what you know about this, that would indicate that in school board elections, people are most likely to lean toward the Republican candidate versus the Democrat. What do you think about that? This is something that's come out.
Well, all things being equal, I think that makes sense because, everyone wants to control their lives, right? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there are too many Americans that want to control the lives of other people. But in the case of schools, most people who are parents that vote want to have control over the direction of their children's education. Mm-hmm. And leaning Republican kind of makes sense in that respect because Republicans are more in favor of parents having the primary role in the children's education, while those who are Democrats are more inclined to want government to have the primary role for socializing purposes. Full disclosure, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. As you know, Suzanne, I'm a registered libertarian. I have been since 1991. And we have even a completely different view on this. In a perfect ideological libertarian world, there would be no government schools. They would all be private schools or charter schools. Every taxpayer deserves to have their views reflected in the school system. And sometimes the two are mutually exclusive. So what do? They both, liberal parents and conservative parents, all pay for the government schools. They expect their values to be represented. And sometimes you just cannot represent them all or in a way that the parents are satisfied with. But we do have government schools. And as long as we do, they need to work as well as
possible. For everybody, because they're for everybody.
They're for everybody. And they work better, I believe, and I know that you believe, when education and parents drive the school system rather than politics driving the school system, which is what I think we have with the teachers' unions and a school board member who runs for office but wants to be a state senator someday. All of these interests, even conservative interests, are driving the school system, sometimes at a higher priority than education.
And we have to admit that. Absolutely.
Yep. And that's one of the problems. But I think that if you have a letter next to somebody's name, then you will at least have ideological transparency. Mm-hmm. One problem with that, and I acknowledge that this is a problem, that in a primary election, those who are registered as non-affiliated, or in my case, somebody who's registered with a third party, typically does not get to vote in a primary. Okay? That's a problem. That's a big chunk.
Problem.
Non-affiliated voters are the largest segment of voters in the state of Oregon. and minor parties just make up a few percent, but they have to pay for those elections. You know, these are not privately funded elections. These are government-funded, government-monitored elections where we pay taxes for the ballot printing, the ballot counting,
okay.
the distribution, all
Thank
of those.
Thank you for that. And that I is think, a major point.
Yep, and I think it is worth asking, you know, since the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and the Libertarian Party and all the other parties, they are private organizations. They have a quasi-public role, but they are private organizations. They're not allowed to levy taxes. They're not allowed they don't have a police force where they can enforce their party rules. They are private organizations. And it is worth asking why non-affiliated voters and third-party voters should fund the candidate selection processes of major parties, which is what happens in primaries. I believe that every political party should monitor and finance its own candidate selection process. Okay?
Wow. Now, that discussion has not come up.
Nope.
So I think that's pretty amazing. And you have a point there.
Yep. It's, you know,
so how would that take place, though, Richard? How would that come to fruition?
Well, you know what? The Libertarian Party and other minor parties we do is sometimes we hold a primary election via the internet using encryption to make sure of ballot security and so on. In our case, we have a candidate nominating convention, which is somewhat akin to caucuses that are held by major parties in states like Iowa. I think Idaho had one this year, and a variety of other states do it. But whatever it is, whether you do a vote-by-mail campaign or an in-person campaign or caucuses or a convention, each political party organizes it themselves, pays for it, executes it, and produces a winner.
Hmm.
And that way you have equal treatment, because what we have right now are public subsidies using forcibly collected dollars to finance the candidate selection process of private organizations, namely political parties. So if you're going to have partisan, if you're going to have partisan elections of anything, you know, that is really the way to go. But until we get that, you know, but Republican and Democratic legislators are not enthusiastic about giving up the subsidy that is the primary elections. So we're not going to see that for a good while.
Right. That's a principle or a dynamic that applies all across the board, don't you think, Richard, as far yeah. as government in general? Once we allow them to have oversight and control of any system, watch out.
Yes,
we've invited the the wolf, you know, in sheep's clothing into our own, you know, into our own homes or our organizations, and
And governments tried. Mm-hmm. Governments tried very hard to regulate the internal governing processes of political parties until it was challenged and went to the U.S. Supreme Court, where a decision. I think the case was EU versus the San Francisco Democratic Party, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that election officials could not interfere with the internal governance of political parties. But of course, you know, there are a lot of other officials that do that. And, you know, I think it would behoove the Republicans and Democrats to get out from under that thumb. But, you know, even under the situation where we have where non-affiliateds and third-party people cannot vote in primaries in a state like Oregon, I think it is still better going into the general election to have ideological transparency of the kind you get by having partisan school board members.
Okay.
In the state of Indiana, almost everything is partisan. You know, you've got partisan water commissioners there. There are nonpartisan seats, but there are a lot is partisan.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. So, and you know, as a national organization, we recognize that every state is different. And so what we want to do, bottom line, our mission is to empower activists. Mm-hmm. And that's a good term. Yep. Don't you agree?
I
love being called that.
Yep.
Because I'm active and so are you. Mm-hmm. And so by giving us this training, which you do on a regular basis, we love Western Liberty Network. We want to encourage people to go to your website to check out these Saturday Zoom calls that you're doing for our organization. You're a perfect partner with us, Richard. Thank you so much, Richard. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Anytime. God bless.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To keep up with everything we're doing, check out our website, parentsrightsandeducation.com, and sign up for our newsletter. You can also join our movement for free by visiting our website, parentsrightsandeducation.com. To do your part in protecting parents' rights, you can become a Club 12x12 member by donating $12 a month. It takes all of us to make the change that we want to see. Thanks so much for listening. Talk soon.